الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما هذه الحياة الدنيا إلا لهو ولعب وإن الدار الآخرة لهي الحيوان لو كانوا يعلمون وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بدأ الإسلام غريبا وسيعود غريبا كما بدأ فطوبى للغرباء أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم Most respected ulama ikram, brothers and elders. In the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala describes our existence in a very unique way. Generally, when we talk about some situations, person was in a very critical situation, we say it was a life and death issue. And we always talk about life and death, life first and then death. So the person comes into this world, he lives his life, and then he finally dies and moves on. But in the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala describes this in a very unique way. تَبَارَكَ الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ الْمُلْكِ وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. That Allah Ta'ala has created death and life. The entire sequence is the other way around. What apparently should have been in our minds, the logical sequence, the Quran Sharif mentions it in the totally opposite sequence. Allah Ta'ala is that being who created death and life. And what is this all about? Why has this death and life been created? لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. So that Allah Ta'ala may test you. That this entire life is a test. And Allah Ta'ala wishes to see who will pass in this test. Who will succeed? Who will become those who will attain the grace of Allah Ta'ala in the hereafter? And who will fail? But the question is that why is this sequence the other way around? Why death first and then life? Because only that person will live his life correctly who has his death in front of him. And if a person has forgotten death, he's forgotten the reality of the akhirat, the day of judgment, the accountability on the day of judgment, then a person, there is no inhibition, there is no restriction, there is nothing to restrain him from doing what he wishes, as he wishes, conducting himself in any kind of way, because there's no consciousness of a hereafter. But if a person has this death in front of him, that there is the life in the qabr, the questioning in the grave, man rabbuk, wa ma dinuk, wa ma taqulu fi hadha rajul, the three questions in the grave, then the grave is either a garden of Jannah or a pit of hell. And then is the day of Qiyamah. And on the day of Qiyamah, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says regarding that, that after the judgment, فَرِيقٌ فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَفَرِيقٌ فِي السَّعِيرِ. One group towards Jannah and one group towards the hellfire. So when a person has all this in front, and together with that, he has the reality of the uncertainty of death, the uncertainty of life, and the imminent death, that death could come in any moment. Then this person conducts himself in a very, very careful manner. It could be the month of Ramadan, or it could be the month of December. It makes no difference to him. It could be the 27th of Ramadan, it could be the 25th of December or the 1st of January. It makes no difference to him. It could be the day of Eid, or it could be some other day of the year. His life is still guided by this reality that I have to answer to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. I am the slave and the servant of Allah ta'ala, and therefore I have to conduct myself in a way that will earn the pleasure of Allah ta'ala. I cannot allow myself to get caught up in the various challenges that come up, in the trials and tribulations, in the fitnas that keep attacking the heart of a mu'min. In the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he reports that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, تَعْرِضُ الْفِتَنُ عَلَى الْقُلُوبِ, that fitnas will attack the heart. They'll come one upon the other onto the heart, because the heart is king. A person's hand doesn't first go to fitna. First his heart goes to fitna, then his hand goes to it. His eyes don't go to fitna first. Rather, it's the heart that goes to fitna first. The first glance might just pick up something, but then the heart attaches itself to that fitna. Then the rest of it carries on. So the heart is king. Nothing else happens before the heart. And the heart directs a person. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that these fitnas will attack the heart. Kal hasiri udan udan. One after the other, consecutively, hardly one fitna has still finished leaving its mark, and the next is there. The second hasn't even yet hit the shore, and the third one is already coming. And then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, فَأَيُّ قَلْبٍ أُشْرِبَهَا نُكِتَ فِيهِ نُكْتَةٌ سَوْدَى. That any heart that accepts this, whatever fitna it may be, the fitna of nudity, the fitna of music, the fitna of entertainment in all its forms, the fitna of wealth, because wealth is either a very good thing or a very bad thing, depends how a person makes it. The fitna of woman, and any other fitna in the between the heavens and earth, anything on the surface of this earth, any fitna that comes and this heart accepts it, it takes to it, then there is a dark spot that appears on this heart, the zulmat and darkness which then grows. And as every subsequent fitna this heart then takes to, this darkness continues engulfing the heart. And then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, وَأَيُّ قَلْبٍ أَنْكَرَهَا. Whichever heart rejects this. Now rejection is not like something came on our desk and I want it or don't want it, I want to order it or cancel it. We just cancelled it and forgot about it. No, this rejection of the heart is far more than that. In the process of rejecting this fitna, of withholding oneself and refraining, restraining oneself from falling into that temptation, it would require sometimes breaking this heart, shattering it, allowing it to bleed, but not getting caught up in that fitna. So the heart that continues rejecting it, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, نُكِتَ فِيهِ نُكْتَةٌ بَيْضَىٰ. A brightness appears in this heart. And as this person continues in this manner, eventually Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, حَتَّى تَصِيرَ عَلَىٰ قَلْبَيْن. Eventually the hearts become categorized into two categories. Either a person is on one end or the other. One, أَبْيَضْ مِثْلَ الصَّفَىٰ لَا تَضُرُّهُ فِتْنَةٌ مَا دَامَتِ السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضِ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says one heart becomes brightened and it becomes like marble. There are various aspects in this simile. One is the brightness, brightly shining marble. From a distance also a person can see the shine. But the marble is something very, very strong, that this heart becomes completely strengthened in fulfilling the commands of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. This marble, nothing can now affect what is behind it. You pour any amount of water on it, it will flow away. You pour any other liquid, you can wipe it away. So now nothing inside, that iman inside has now become protected. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, لا تدره فتنة ما دامت السماوات والأرض, that no fitna now will affect this heart. But over this process, the person continued breaking that heart for Allah Ta'ala. Everybody seemed to be going in one direction. He seemed to have been left alone. And because of being isolated sometimes, that everybody is in one direction and he is alone, he feels heartbroken, feels miserable maybe. But that misery he's feeling is for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala fills that heart with this noor of Iman. And the time comes when this heart becomes fitna-proof. لا تضره فتنة ما دامت السماوات والأرض. No fitna can now affect this heart till the last moment of life, till Qiyamah. This heart has now become fitna-proof. But not just like that. It repeatedly was broken for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. And it did not take to any fitna. And on the other side, well, the other part, the other category of the hearts, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi describes it as wal akharu aswadu mirbadan kalkuzi mujakhiyan la ya'rifu ma'rufa wa la yunkiru munkara illa ma ushriba min hawah, or kama qala an-nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The other heart becomes darkened, engulfed in this darkness, and like a utensil, like a vessel that has been turned upside down. If a person has a huge tank, and if it's right side up, and one drop falls into the tank every month, or every year or so, then it'll take some time, but because it's right side up, and one drop at a time is falling in, it'll get filled someday. But you can have a small little tumbler, a small little glass, and you can have it under the Niagara Falls. But if it is upside down under the Niagara Falls, then for 1 year also you turn it up around later, you'll find not one drop inside. Because it is upside down. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that that heart that keeps taking to the fitna, anything came, well, there's nothing wrong with it. Everything is fine. Everybody is doing it. So everybody is doing it. What's wrong for me? So as a result, this heart starts turning upside down. And when it turns upside down, لا يعرف معروفا ولا ينكر منكرا, neither can it recognize what is good, nor can it perceive the evil in anything bad. إِلَّا مَا أُشْرِبَ مِنْ هَوَىٰ, the only thing this heart is now concerned is about fulfilling its desire. Nothing else. This person is now guided like some animal by the nose. The desires take this person in whichever direction it wants. And what is holding the other side of these reins is nafs and shaitan. Now anything and everything becomes fine. Anything and everything becomes permissible. And this is something Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has already foretold when the hadith of Bukhari Sharif, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, and all this comes as a result of this heart taking to the fitna. Any fitna comes, the heart is in it. That لَيَكُونَنَّ مِنْ أُمَّتِي أَقْوَامٌ, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, in my ummah there will be such people. They will come. يَسْتَحِلُّونَ الْحِرَّ وَالْحَرِيرَ وَالْخَمْرَ وَالْمَعَازِفِ, that they will legalize. People will come in my ummah, but they will distort things and they will misconstrue things. And as a result, they will legalize. يستحلون الحر. حر means zina. They will legalize zina. A person might find this very, very far-fetched. How will this ever happen? That a person legalizes zina. So zina has various levels. In the Hadith Sharif, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, zina al-ayni al-nazr. The zina of the eye is to look at haram. That is zina also. A person is looking at filth on his phone, whether he's looking at something on the street, wherever he's casting lustful glances, looking at something haram, this is zina of the eye. And it engulfs the heart in darkness. وَزِنَ الْيَدِ الْبَطْشِ, the zina of the hand is to touch anything haram. And so on and so forth. Nabi Sassam describes all the levels of zina. So يَسْتَحِلُّونَ الْحِرْ, they will legalize zina. They'll say, what's the problem with the intermingling of males and females? Nothing wrong with it. If some female is looking at some male, what's wrong with it? If some male is looking at a female, what's wrong with it? Has this not become the legalization of zina? Has this not become what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam foretold? يَسْتَحِلُّونَ الْحِرْ وَالْحَرِيرِ The wearing of silken garments for men, which Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has prohibited, they'll find some way to make it fine. Legalization. We are in the era of legitimization. And a person will find something or the other to legitimize anything he wants. وَالْخَمْرِ And intoxicants. Person will change the label, make it fine. وَالْمَعَازِفِ And musical instruments. What is a person will find some way to twist something and turn something that this music is also now fine. The intermingling is fine. Everything is fine. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is foreshadowing this in the hadith of Bukhari Sharif. And then further Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that when the azab comes, such people will be turned qiradatan wa khanazir. They'll be turned into swines and monkeys. Before Qiyamah this will happen, where this azab will come in such a dramatic manner on such people. So what is this? This is that same fitna that the heart takes to. And on the other side, there'll be somebody now who is refraining himself, restricting himself, that my life is very precious. I have to meet Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. This life could go any moment in time. And I cannot allow myself to get caught up in all these fitnas. What if my life comes out in that moment? And as a result, this person feels very lonely. He shouldn't be worried about this. He should take glad tidings. When the hadith of Muslim Sharif, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, Bada al-Islamu ghariba. Islam started off like a stranger. Islam commenced like a stranger. Person comes, he's a stranger, he doesn't know anybody. Nobody knows him, nobody wants to see him. Nobody wants to have anything to do with him. Islam started off like a stranger. And when Islam started off, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and just a handful of people, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is going from camp to camp on Mina. مَنْ يَأْوِينِي مَنْ يَنْصُرُنِي حَتَّى أُبَلِّغَ رِسَالَةَ رَبِّي Who will give me some shelter? And who will help me? Is there anybody? I'm alone. With just a few people. So that I may convey the message of my Rabb. Alone, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is moving. Asking for some help for his deen. For the deen of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Islam started off like a stranger like this. And then Islam spread. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then says, وَسَيَعُودُ كَمَا بَدَأَ غَرِيبًا A time will come when Islam will become like a stranger again. Islam will become like a stranger. Islam is known throughout the world. Every single human being walking on the face of this earth perhaps knows about Islam. Might be the very rare person living in some remote place, never heard about it. That too is perhaps a very distant possibility. And what are we talking about? Islam will become like a stranger. While everybody knows about Islam, even the kuffar know about Islam, the Muslims obviously know about Islam more than anybody else. But the laws of deen, what Islam is all about, will become like a stranger. A person will say to Islam, you stand outside my business. Inside my business, I'll do what I want. You stay in the masjid. If I want to give somebody a bribe, that's my business, not Islam's business. If I want to give a sea right, then I'll sail along with the sea rights. Not Islam's business. Islam must stay out. Inside my business, Islam is a stranger. I want to give interest. I want to take interest. Islam, you don't come inside my shop. I want to conduct my business in any way. But whatever comes, let it come. Islam will become like a stranger in that business. It becomes an occasion, some nikah, some wedding. So the way of Islam is what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has taught. Inna a'zama an-nikahi barakatan aysarahu ma'una. The nikah with the greatest barakat is the nikah where the least expense was incurred. The most simplest of nikahs. At that time a person will say to Islam, you stay outside now. Now this is my time. I need to do what I need to do. And I need to conduct my nikah how I want to. So in that nikah, Islam has become a stranger. Everybody else is made happy. Even the maid is made happy. It's a wedding now in the house. So the maid will be given new clothes to wear also. And the garden boy will be made happy also. But Islam, you stay outside. Sorry, this is now some function of ours. And it becomes the holiday, so-called holiday time. It comes the December period. Now I need to have a holiday. So there is holiday from everything, holiday from deen, holiday from Islam as well. Islam, you don't join me on my holiday. I'll dress how I want. I'll join all the hordes on the public beaches. I will be in the middle of all the nudity. I will go where I want. I will visit the gambling dens. Anywhere and everywhere I want to do, whatever I want to do, I will do. Islam, you stay outside. You don't come and join me. Don't come become an obstacle in my fun. Bada al-Islamu ghariba. وَسَيْعُودُ كَمَا بَدَأَ غَرِيبًا Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Islam started off like the stranger. And it once again will become stranger. It will become a stranger, Allah forbid, in the home of a mu'min. And alhamdulillah, the iman is there. But that level of iman is so low that even Islam has become a stranger in the home of the mu'min. Islam has become a stranger in the hand of a mu'min. Islam is saying, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ Say to the believing men, they must lower their gazes and they must protect their chastity. Don't look at anything haram. But in the hand of that mu'min, Islam has become a stranger. See, Islam afterwards. And I come with azan goes, I'll come to the masjid. Now I want to see what I want to see. Now it's my time for my fun. It's my time for my holiday. It's my time for my entertainment. Whatever it is, whether it is permissible, impermissible, that makes no difference to me now. Now it is my time for my entertainment. So Islam, you stay outside. So as a result, this person might feel isolated, who wants to remain away from the fitna. Doesn't want to get involved in all the haram. He doesn't want to be in the venues of all the intermingling. He doesn't want to be where all the music is going to affect his heart. Because he cannot risk his iman for anything. Because this is the passport to Jannat. The passport to Jannat is Iman. The person lands at any airport without the passport, they'll send him back. They won't even allow him to leave from his own country without the passport. The passport to Jannat is Iman. And this Iman gets affected in environments that are anti-Iman. Environments of haram, environments where the commands of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala are being broken, environments of nudity, environments of shamelessness, environments where music is being played. These environments affect this iman. And this iman gets affected in a way a person doesn't even realize it got affected. Many a person sometimes and asks, that I used to perform my fajr regularly with jama'ah. I just can't seem to wake up anymore. What has happened? I used to make 2 paras tilawat daily. I can't even read 2 ayats anymore. I used to have a complete control over my gaze. I wasn't looking at any haram. How come suddenly I just can't stop myself from falling into any haram? Where has this come from? Where it has come from is the effects of the environments we put ourselves in. Person says, I'm just going to browse. But when a person goes to browse, he buys also. And the heart keeps buying from the environment it is in. It doesn't only browse. The heart buys a lot. And suddenly a person sees his deen is affected, his salah is affected. His tilawat is affected, and all the time this iman is either moving up or down. Al-imanu yazidu wa yanqus is a very technical discussion, but in terms of the quality, in terms of the strength of iman, this is a unanimous issue that iman is never constant. It's either increasing or it is decreasing. And a person is in the right environments, that iman will improve as a result of the effect of the environment. He's in the masjid. He's in the path of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. He's listening to the talks of deen. He's sitting in the halqa of ta'aleem. He's in the company of pious people. All this will cause his iman to increase. And he's in environments of shamelessness, nudity, all kinds of dressing. He's in the middle of the hordes on the public beaches. He's in all these kind of entertainment venues. Then his iman can't be increasing when things are being done there which break the commands of Allah ta'ala. As a result, a person leaves from there with his iman severely dented. And now this plays out in various things in his life. So this is a challenge. As we said, we started off right at the beginning. That Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, تَبَارَكَ الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ الْمُلْكُ وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةِ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا That this entire life is a test. But Allah ta'ala says, first remember, I created death also. الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةِ, that being who created death and life, that every step of your life, keep your death in front of you. Otherwise, if a person forgets death, then he will just fall headlong into anything and everything. Whatever beckons, he will go for it. And his life will revolve around entertainment. Even deen will become entertainment. If there isn't some so-called entertainment value in some aspect of deen, for example, if there is some need for some deeni cause, some funds have to be raised. So if there isn't a fundraising dinner, and take the D out, it must become a fundraising dinner. And without that, he won't part with his money also, for a deeni cause. So even deen will become based on entertainment. And this, the very famous poet of India, Iqbal, marhum, he said something which was very, very apt. And he summed up the whole thing. He said, "Aao main batau tumko taqdeer e umam kya hai? Come, let me tell you what is the destiny of nations. What is the secret behind the rise and fall of nations?" And a person studies history and he'll see it right across. "Aao main batau tumko taqdeer e umam kya hai? Shamshir o sana awwal taus o rubab akhir." That the first part of it was a lot of struggle, a lot of sacrifice. They gave sacrifice of every sort, where even their lives were sacrificed. And after all the sacrifice, that nation rose and it reached its peak. And now when it reached its peak, then taus o rubab akhir, then all the entertainment started. And when the entertainment started, that became the decline. And it then finally brought that nation onto its knees and enslaved it to others. And look around throughout the pages of history, that when a nation started revolving its life around entertainment, then that is where the decline started and that is where the fall came. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has given us this wealth of iman. This is our greatest and most valuable treasure. Nothing can be compromised, or nothing can be taken. If iman is going to be compromised, we cannot compromise our iman for anything. If we feel isolated, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Fatuba lil ghuraba," these people who get left alone, for the sake of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, let them take the glad tidings. The glad tidings of Jannat. These are for those who feel isolated because they don't want to be part of the crowds that are all going in the wrong direction. They rather keep themselves aloof, keep themselves isolated, remain alone, but don't get caught up in those things that Allah ta'ala has forbidden. Nabi sallallahu has given them this glad tidings. Fatuba lil ghuraba. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala make us among these ghuraba, among those people who accept to be strangers for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, but are not prepared to compromise their iman, their deen, their Islam for anything else. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.